Shalom, everyone. My name is daughter of Israel Abel, Maggie Hawkins, and I want to serve you as a priestess starting very soon. Please find your seats for Sabbath service.
Shabbat Shalom. I am daughter of Israel Abel Zaleah. Welcome, everyone, to another wonderful Sabbath services here at the Great House of Yahweh. Please get ready to continue learning about Yahweh's great plan for mankind. And now, it is a privilege to introduce to you the sons and daughters now entering the sanctuary. I would like to turn it over to the great priests in the house of Yahweh.
Shalom, everyone. Please pay close attention to this whole service. There's going to be tons of knowledge and understanding that will be coming to you. This can only be achieved from this service at the house of Yahweh. Prophecy, laws of health, and Yematria all added up to one fantastic lesson. And with this, I'd like to turn it over to the first teacher.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. I'd like to start off my speech this morning. If I could have my first slide, please. Okay. My first slide is Revelations 11:3, and it says, "And I will give to my two witnesses to perform their prophetic offices, and they will foretell events about the 3.5 years, those cast about in darkness." Now, we know that these two witnesses are the ones that were chosen by Yahweh in these last days to establish the house of Yahweh in this time period. And if you are aware of what's taking place in this time period, there are several prophecies that are taking place right before our eyes, and we need to pay attention to every single speaker that is speaking today so that we can understand. Sisters, we need to understand what is taking place and what we need to do in order to guide our children into that kingdom. If I could have my next slide, please. Okay, and this is Revelations 16, 1 and 2. And we've gone over this one before. And as you can see on the slide, it deals with the two woes, okay? And I heard a great voice out of the house saying to the seven Malachim, "Go your ways and pour out." And we know this pouring out is to foretell the bowls of the judgment of Yahweh upon the earth. Now, this judgment is because of the lack of us following him and his laws. This judgment is because of the sins that we have perpetrated on this earth that Yahweh gave us. And the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and there came a noisome and grievous sore upon the men who had the mark of the beast. Okay, now this, we have to understand who these men who have the mark of the beast is. Sisters, we have to understand. We have to take notes. We have to ask our heads to guide us so we can guide our children so that they can understand what is taking place. And it all comes from the overseer because he has been ordained to teach us. Now, if I could have my next slide, please. Now, I did a study on the locusts and the grasshoppers. And I did, right up on the slide that's showing you is an etymology of the word locust. And locust is the name of, let me find it right here, okay. Any numerous grasshoppers of the family of Acridiidae, often migrating in immense swarms that devour vegetation and crops. Now this is from the American Heritage Dictionary that I'm reading this from. But if you notice the second highlight, the Hebrew Bible has seven names for this word locust. There's seven different names. And if you go into the Strong's and you type in, that you look under the word locust, it will take you to several scriptures. Study out those scriptures so you understand what the locust means. Then go and study out the words that they use, that the word locust is used for. This will help you to guide you in your studies, but always remember, bring everything back to what you've been taught in the house of Yahweh. Don't go off on your own. If you have questions, ask your counselors, ask your head. Listen to the priests that are speaking. Listen to the speakers. They will give you the answers. If I could have my next slide, please. Now, the second one is that there's a weed. If you noticed on your breakfast menu, it said careless weed. What does careless salad mean? What plant is that? It is an amaranth plant. That is the name. It comes from the amaranth family. And this is the etymology. And it says that it is a poet's word for an imaginary flower that never fades, but it is applied to a genus of ornamental plants from the 1550s. Those leaves that you ate on your breakfast plate this morning is the careless weed, which is the amaranth plant. Okay, now take note of that, the amaranth plant, because it is very important. If I could have my next slide, please. I'm sorry, I'm sweating up here. Now, when I did the study in the Strong's, Locust took me to Revelation 9:3. And at Revelation 9:3, the chapter starts, it's the seventh seal, the fifth trumpet, the first roll, the last half of the great tribulation. Now, if you look in verses 3 and 4, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and to them was given power, and as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, nor any green tree, but only those men who have the seal of Yahweh in their foreheads will be saved. Now, if we go to Revelation, if I could have my last slide, please. Revelation 2:17. This is one of my most loved scriptures. And it says, he who has an ear, we have to listen. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the called out ones. Now, this came out as I was studying out Revelations. I was going through different chapters of Revelations. And I saw Revelation 2:17, and I had done a study on it. And it says, to him who overcomes, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, sentence of acquittal, and in the stone a restored name, Yahweh written, which no one acknowledges except he who understands. Go back to and study out the white stone of acquittal. The white stone of acquittal was given to our overseer in these last days, and he is going to teach us in what to do in the next woe that is coming. And with that, I turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You can be seated. So this week I was privileged to learn a lot about careless weed and locusts. And I'm going to share some of this. So my title is Locusts and Careless Weeds. So my first geometria, careless weeds and locusts have a connection. So I put that in the geometria and those numbers came up. 396 meant something edible. That is food, meat. We know that we can eat careless weeds and we can eat locusts. So it's feminine from Hebrew 398, means to eat literally or figuratively, consume, devour. And we know that when those locusts land on a crop, they devour it instantly. It means dine, feed with food, freely in wise, deep plenty. And we know they are food for mankind. So 396 in the Greek, it means to overturn, overthrow, subvert. And that word overturn means the act of turning over. And we know that that is the kingdom, the beastly system is going to turn over the rulership to the kingdom of Yahweh. And it's not by might nor by power, as Zechariah 4:6 says, but by the laws of Yahweh, what is written. So it comes from, the next number is 2376. In the Hebrew, it means a sight, look, vision. And it's from 3717. The Hebrew means to behold, have a dream, which corresponds to 2372, means to behold, look, prophesy. And we've been told that that word prophesy also means to teach. And also it means to provide. You can think about it like provide you with knowledge to understand what is the right way to do, how to conduct yourself in the house of Yahweh. So 2376 in the Greek, it means window. And it's from 2374, a portal or entrance, the opening or closure, literally or figuratively, door or gate. We know that in Revelation 3:8, it talks about, I have set an open door that no man can shut to the house of Yahweh. And then the last number, 2861, in the Hebrew, it means a wedding. And it's from 2859, to give away in marriage. We're preparing ourselves for the great marriage supper with Yeshua Messiah, right? Praise Yahweh. So for my next geometria, careless will help you reject sin. That's what the overseer said. So the first number, 378, it means man of shame. And then in the Greek, it means to complete, by implication, occupy, supply, figuratively to accomplish by obedience. So, you know, if you don't want to partake, to be ashamed because of sin, this careless will helps you to reject sin. Like, have you ever been in a situation where you want to do something, but you have voices in your head, like, should I do it, should I not do it? He said that that is Yahweh. That is Yahweh speaking to you. And when you eat this careless wheat, it helps you to recognize that. But notice this, you can eat the careless wheat and choose to sin. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, you are a free agent to choose. So it is your responsibility to choose. Despite you eating the careless wheat, you can still sin. So it is your choice whether to go by what is written, righteousness, live only by the laws, the word of Yahweh, what proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh, or go your own way. And then 2268 in the Hebrew means a community. So, it's the same as 2267, which means a society, company. From 2260, to join literally or figuratively, be compact, coupled together. And also this helps us to a point where we don't want to hurt others. We want to appreciate life and see that they are valuable and live together in harmony. So 2268 in the Greek, it is from 3470, which means Yahweh has blessed. And it's true, Yahweh has blessed us with this righteous knowledge that comes forth only from the house of Yahweh at Abel, from his one saint, Yisrael Hawkins, and that he teaches us his way. We can recognize how we've gone wrong and we repent, confess, and be converted in his way. 3123 is the last number. It means more in a great degree, or rather, better, far, the more, so much the more. And it's a word that is used in Matthew chapter 6, if you turn there. Matthew chapter 6, verse 26 and 30, they are under the subtitle, Seek First the Kingdom of Yahweh. So verse 26 says, behold, the birds of the air, they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into storehouses. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And then verse 30 says, now, if Yahweh so clothes the grass of the field, which living today is used as fuel for the oven tomorrow, will he not much more clothe you, all you of little faith? Now, that shows how Yahweh supplies the needs of his people in due time. He knows our needs, and he will always supply. As Psalm 23:1 says, Yahweh is our shepherd, we shall not want. And that word want is 26:37, and in the Hebrew it means to be lacking. We will never be lacking in the house of Yahweh. Yahweh will always provide us in due time. And with this, I'll turn to the next teacher.
Shalom, Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. So how many of us got up early this morning? We're hungry. Yeah? How many of us were eager to see the food that Yahweh had prepared for us? Yes, I see a lot of hands up. How many of us ate it? How many of us rejoiced? How many of you ate the grasshopper first? How many of you liked it? Oh, I liked it. I heard it was sauteed in butter or something, but it was delicious. So we know that Yahweh is bringing us closer to becoming more perfect and bringing us more in unity through this next step that he's bringing us through. We know that in these last days, this is the last generation with the greatest temptations, the greatest, and Yahweh is putting us through the greatest test because he's going to give us the greatest position. He's offering us great authority, but we have to train for it and be tested first. And we know this careless weed that our overseer has prepared for us, and also the grasshoppers or the locusts, people call them different things, but those are the names in scriptures that help us to, it's like honey and butter, it helps you to, when you have that thought to sin, to push it out and to choose righteousness instead. So the first example we see in the scriptures with Adam and Eve, remember, Eve was deceived into sin and Adam also fell into sin. And the attitude you see there is careless. And our overseer has pointed out that this weed, this careless weed, is actually a reminder to help us to choose righteousness and not that careless attitude. So we're going to talk about the opposite of that careless attitude and how Yahweh shows it in prophecy, okay? So in Genesis 3, 1 through 5, Genesis chapter 3, where Adam and Eve fell into sin, deceived and fell into sin, they quit guarding and keeping Yahweh's way of life. So there you see that careless attitude. By letting sin creep in, and the tree of life was withdrawn from mankind. So we see how that first sin, or even the thought to sin, has led to 6,000 years of Satan and her gods ruling. So you see also Yahweh many times, he loves mankind. He loves his creation. He has a goal for mankind and a purpose. And again, he warned the children of Israel with Moshe when he brought them out of Egypt. He warned them many times. He said, I'll make of you a kingdom of priests if you will obey my laws, obey the teacher I've set. And he set the blessings before them. But he also set what else? What's the T word? Test. Yes, the test. So in Exodus 19, you remember, he said, I will make of you a kingdom of priests. But it wasn't at that time. They were careless as well, and they rejected it. We know that they were careless because in Acts, even in Yahshua's writings, he talked about the children of the fathers who murdered the prophets. They hated Yahshua. Remember, they were called Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, and now they took back their old name, Coptic Catholic, and we see them worshiping the same religions. But in Micaiah 4, 1 through 3, Yahweh said, I would establish my house in the last days. This is the last days. We are the last days' house. And Yahweh said in Jeremiah 23 that our work would be greater than that of Moshe's, but not just our work and the teacher we have, but also the tests. The tests are going to be greater. Remember, he said to the children of Israel in Exodus 20:20, Yahweh has come to test and prove you so that you do not commit sin. And the not committing sin or not falling into God worship is the main thing there. You see this in scripture many times. Deuteronomy 12, Yahweh said, seek the place. Yahshua said, seek righteousness. Deuteronomy 17, 9-10, Yahweh tells us to go to the house, to ask, to seek first. And he also uses that word, careful. That's the opposite of careless. Deuteronomy 17, if you want to go there, on page 161, and verse 10, you must act according to the sentence they pronounce for you at the place Yahweh chooses. Be careful to do all that they order you to do. Yahweh said, be careful, because Satan is subtle and crafty. If Eve was careful, she wouldn't have been deceived, right? We see that in scripture, but she was. So the knowledge that Yahweh has offered in these last days is abundant. We have it here, and that should be our main thing, to find our joy in the knowledge and in the teaching and in the serving, the working. And to encourage us with this next greatest test, Yahweh put pastors' numbers in some yematria. And if we can have them, we have careless weed and Adam, 828. Pastor's number. So in these last days, we don't want to be that careless like Adam was. Okay? 828 is the date of pastor's birth. Careless weed and grasshoppers to eat today, right? 322. Can we get our next one? Eating the locust. Whose date of birth? 828. How many of us ate the locust? Anyone? Right? Okay, the next one. A careless weed grasshopper trial, if you want to think of it like that. 322, pastor's tag number. So remember, this is an encouragement. Yahweh, remember all the tests he's brought us through? He's bringing us through this next phase of tests if we'll be careful to observe everything that comes forth from his house. And with this, if y'all please stand, I'm going to turn to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I don't know if y'all feeling the same way, but I'm like, what is really going on here? Because it's just absolutely mind-boggling. Like, I'm trying to understand what exactly is going on. But I just wanted to say thank you for the hard work that was put in for preparing the careless weed and the food that we got to partake of today. Because I heard that they were out super late picking all the careless weed. And I'm just like, around 11 o'clock, and I'm like, whoa, that is, I'm in bed asleep. And people were still out there for us picking all this careless weed, and we get to partake of it. Praise Yahweh. So I wanted to go over to Deuteronomy 8:3. So talking about this manna. Now, hopefully this is going to slide in with everybody else's speech. So Deuteronomy 8:3. So he humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know of, nor did your fathers know of it, so he might make you know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh does man live. Now, I wanted to point out one thing, is that that's how Yahweh tested them back in the days, was with feeding them with manna, because they were crying out. They were struggling really, really severely, and so all of a sudden they wake up and they have all this stuff that's grown, or all this stuff outside of their tents, and they're all like, well, what is that? That leads me to my title, What Is It and Where Can It Be Found? Now, keeping that in mind with the manna, I want you to turn over to Deuteronomy 12:5, and I just want to read real quickly. This is one of our staples, but it says, but you are to seek the habitation of your father, the house of Yahweh, the place which Yahweh your father shall choose out of all his names, out of all your tribes, to establish his name, and there you must go. So for those who are tuning in, Yahweh establishes name at the place that he chooses. It's not just any random place. And at this established place, it's the true manna provided to them to feed to us. Now, that leads me to my first Yamatria, and I wanted to show, I'll show the book of Yisrael quote first. From the seventh book of Yisrael, part 2, chapter 27, verse 40. But the teaching of your laws gives light. They give light, they give understanding to the simple. You see that? See, this little over here explains this little here and then back here. You get it a little in Deuteronomy, which says, go to the priest at the place I choose. Yahweh is choosing this place to place my name. And then he will teach you from the laws. But you've got to do what he says. Now, keep that in mind. You've got to do what he says, because that's how Yahweh tested them back in the days of Egypt. He tested them with manna to see if they would obey. Now, going on, but you've got to do what he says in order to get Yahweh to work with your understanding, and then you will start coming to wisdom, and that's what Daniel was showing. The wise will teach many. Now, if we can show our next slide, which is the Yamatria, the place Yahweh chose to establish his name. Now, the mountain promotion establishment. Now, I want you to notice the 23:34. What's interesting, in 2 Kings 23:34, Eliakim, his name was changed to Yahyakim, and that means established by Yahweh. Keep that in mind. Now, going on, we have 23:34 from BibleHub.com, and it means tents, villages of Yar from 23:33, and so on and so forth. Now, that 23:33, notice, it's a tent, a village. The same as 23:32, it's a life-giving, a living place by implication, an encampment or village. And then 29:71 means he enlightens, enlightener, from 22:15, which means to be or become light. Now, this will lead into our Yamatria, which is, for those who don't already know, the last days started with the birth of the last day's anointed witness, Yisrael Abel Hawkins, which was 8/28/1934. Now, a long time ago, Yahweh's house was being persecuted. And what was interesting is that they named a particular place Yahweh Village. And what that was also, that's what caught my attention when I looked at that 2334, and it said tent villages. So if we could show our next slide. Yahweh Village is 828. So Yahweh already knew that was, that's tagged with his date of birth. That's just amazing. One giving light, notice that 948. That 948 means fine white linen. And we, the house of Yahweh, know is the man dressed in linen equals 1074 in the Yamatria, and pure linen today, 1074. Now, a life-giving place, notice that is tagged with overseer's date of birth, 828. Because only by him, the place that Yahweh chose to establish, his name. There's no other place on the face of this earth. And that 138 means a worshiper of Yahweh. Now, this leads me to my conclusion, which we've got to remember to keep every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh, the last day's anointed witness, everything that he's telling us to do, we must do. And this is how Yahweh is going to test to see if we will obey. And just keep that in mind, the manna that came down from heaven. And with this, if you'd all please stand, I'll turn it over to the following speaker.
Shabbat shalom, sisters. Please be seated. On prep day, when your phone chimed with a message between the hours of 3 and 4 p.m., what was your first reaction? Were you confused, calm, worked up? This will be the hardest lesson for us to learn. Who remembers law number one? Excellent. It is believe in Yahweh as the only source of power in the universe, right? I would like you to focus on the underlying word believe. Believe is defined as to have faith, confidence in, to hold as true, to trust. So to believe in Yahweh, we have to have full trust in him. We must turn to Yahweh in complete reliance to him. Building this trust in Yahweh is a very, very hard lesson for us to learn. Trusting him to go before us in every battle, trusting and relying on him to provide all our needs and daily bread. When we are sick or when we are sad, great times, trying times, we must turn to him only. When we are asked to do something in solidarity with the house of Yahweh, trusting in Yahweh to see us through without gripe or murmur, because he is a merciful, compassionate Father who will not give us more than we can bear. This is not only about some careless weeds and some grasshoppers. I look at it as a situation to test our trust in the Creator, to see if we put our trust in Yahweh or not. What will we teach our children and others behind closed doors when no one is looking? Will we trust Yahweh to believe he knows what he is doing? Please think back to our forefathers and our foremothers of the many things they endured to prove their trust in Yahweh. They went through fiery furnace, den of lions. Think about Noah and the flood. Yosef being sold by his own brothers and not holding a grudge. Sarah knowing prophecy and being childless for a long, long time. Yochanan standing up for righteousness and being beheaded. How many times was Shaul put in prison, but still got up and taught? Those who hid in caves, hung upside down on the stake, tortured, stoned, sawed in two, killed, cruelly treated. Sisters, what more can I say? How much more examples can I give you in 5 minutes? for time will fail me to tell of the many others like Stephen. Which of the prophets and the apostles were not persecuted or rejected? Even the just one was ridiculed, mocked, and murdered. Do you know what got them through these hard times? Full and complete trust in Father Yahweh and his plan. And that trust will also get us through these times. Remember the blood on the doorposts, the marching around the city of Jericho. Who would have thought marching around the city will bring down a wall? But it is possible because of the trust and the endurance that we have. Let us read what the overseer said about trust in the fifth book of Yahweh, chapter 13, verses 121. He says, I trust in Yahweh. I know Yahweh is going to save his house. He has kept us so far, brethren, and he will keep us. He shows that he will keep us until the very end. We have a guardian Malachim to guard us. I know the house of Yahweh is going to come through this and be presented to Yahweh. We'll be presented as healthy, fat beings, as Yahweh said. I know he has a protection for us as long as you're part of the house and as long as you're in agreement with the house and don't go out on your own against the house in any way. You are going to be protected. Yahweh bless your understanding. This is the depth of his trust in the plan and in the Creator. The fourth book of Yahweh, overseer also explained how we can gain trust in Yahweh. He said to seek peace, depart from evil, and do righteousness. These three things will have our growth, will make us grow in the trust of Yahweh. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 13, we are given a promise. Verse 13, but he who endures until the end, the same will be saved. Look at the word endure. The word endure from Gesenius Hebrew and Chaldean lexicon means trust in Yahweh. So we can also say Matthew 24:13. But he who trusts in Yahweh until the end, the same will be saved. Not endure, trust. He who trusts will be saved. Sisters, remember always, those who trust in Yahweh will be saved. For homework, I encourage you to read Psalms chapter 34. In your spare time, please read this entire chapter. It is very encouraging and uplifting. Thank you for your time, and I would like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. Our great high priest and king, Yeshua, continues to feed the sheep through the hand of Israel Hawkins. That's the title. I can hear Yeshua talking right now, and I can hear him saying to Pastor, Israel, I know that you love me, so continue to feed my sheep. In Hebrews 1, let's hear the words of Yeshua. It says, Hebrews 1, 1 through 3, Yahweh, who at various times and in different ways spoke in times past to our fathers through the prophets, has in these last days, the days we're living in, spoken to us through his Son, through whom he has appointed heir of all things, for whom he has made the world, who being the reflection of the perfection of Yahweh and the representation of Yahweh's plan by upholding all things concerning that which was spoken by Yahweh through the law and the prophets, and he has purged sin, sat down, and now sits at the right hand of our great Father Yahweh. In 1 Corinthians 13, by the hand of Yahweh, through our Malach, he testifies, through our Malach, he says in Revelation 22, 16, I, Yeshua, have sent my Malach to testify to you these things, so it's through the last day's anointed witness. And in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, it says, where there is knowledge, it will be replaced by complete truth. And in Jeremiah 23:20, it says, in the latter days, the days that we are living in, this last generation, you will understand it perfectly. Psalm 19, verse 7, the laws of Yahweh are perfect, converting the whole person. The testimony of Yahweh is sure. That testimony once again brought through our last day's anointed witness. We are living in exciting times. The world is groping in darkness, and we are walking in the light. Praise Yahweh for that. Psalm 119, 105 says, the laws of Yahweh are a lamp to our feet. And it says in Psalm 119, 131, it says, we opened our mouths and panted, for we longed for your laws. Now, if you would take that number longed and go to the Strong's, it's the number 2968. And it goes to the theological word book of the Old Testament. Now, listen carefully. This is only one time in the scriptures that this goes to. And it's the number 828. That is the overseer's birthday, showing that he is the one in these last days, along with Yeshua guiding him, are longing for the laws of Yahweh to be perfected and brought about in these last days through his witness to the great, through the great house of Yahweh. Now let's talk about the careless weed. And I thought it was interesting because I wanted to have a little hand in the work at the cafeteria this morning, so I went up there. And I was assigned to help with the careless weed. And I thought, wow, that's really pretty amazing. So anyway, well, I thought when I was putting this sermon together, I said, what do I know about this careless weed? And I said, absolutely nothing. Yahweh inspired me to look to the only source of knowledge, which is the book of Yahweh. The careless weed was not in the Strong's. So I said, now what do I do? And Yahweh sort of said, well, the word careless is there, and is the word weeds there? And so I looked. The word careless, and we can put that slide up, is Hebrew 982 and 983, and it means to hide, for refuge, to trust confident, secure and bold. Hide means to go quickly. In the dictionary, it means to go quickly. I thought, well, that's pretty very interesting to me. That's not what I was expecting. So it is having a careless of being free, knowing that Yahweh is going to protect us because we keep our side of the bargain. I will be your father if you will walk in my ways and be my people. Do my ways. So there's another side of being careless, and that's not being careful to follow the laws. Careful to do everything that you're told to do. Like Eve fell into sin, she was deceived, but Adam sinned. He knew it was wrong, and he should have been more careful. And I'm talking to us women right now, women in the house of Yahweh. We honor Yahweh by honoring our heads. And when our heads tell us something, that's because they're wanting us to make it into the kingdom. So we're doing our part by being truly obedient to them. So praise Yahweh for the righteous heads you have, women, in the house of Yahweh. So I went to the word weeds, and it's only one time in the scriptures. It's in Yana 2, verse 5, where it says that word, weeds. And I thought that was pretty interesting. One time, and it's not. Well, anyway, you know the story of Yana, where Yana was in the fish's belly. The weed was wrapped around his head. And it was a representation of Yeshua being in the grave 3 days and three nights. So anyway, keep that in mind. The date today, can we have that date, please? I'm sorry. Oh, wait, I want to go over that one. I'm sorry, you're right. Could I have the next one? There you go. Weeds means reed, and we know where we've seen that before, Revelation 11:1. Where it says here that he took that, there was given to our overseer a reed for writing, a pen. So we see this is a connection here, that we're to look and to go to refuge because someone is writing something for us to learn. So let's give today's date. In the world is 7/4/2020. When you take out the zeros, you get 7422. Can we see that? There you go. 7422 means Yahweh has raised, and it goes to raise to a position of honor. And it went to one scripture, Psalm 110, verse 7. The one who bestows secession will set them on their thrones. Yahweh will exalt them. You see that number 1 stands for Yeshua. The 10-7 stands for our anointed one. Always working together in these last days. So that I thought that was pretty amazing. Let me quickly go back to the weeds plate there and show what 58-54-89 means. Westward, west side, gathering of Yahweh's people in the west. So careless, you go to refuge to trust confidently at the house of Yahweh in these last days, established according to prophecy, Isaiah 2:2, Micaiah 4:1, in these last days I will establish my house. And as it is written, and this last Yematria will show it, the careless weeds that will do these things that Yahweh said will be a part of, you see that, 828, careless weeds. So always eat from Yeshua that's fed through the hand of Israel. At this time, let us stand for the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. So things sure were hopping at breakfast today, huh? So the title of my speech today is, What Is It? What is it? How many of you have ever heard of the careless weed? Show of hands. Not very many, just a few. Remember in Deuteronomy 8:3 and in Matthew 4:4, we're told that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of Yahweh's mouth. And Yahweh has given us a spokesperson in this time period. He's a very inspired man. This man is very inspired. I'd like to start out by reading the third book of Israel, chapter 21, verse 35 to you. Pastor says, Yahweh brings these things to my attention. This is part of the inspiration, which I know I have, and I've known I had it for many, many years. He's been leading me around almost like a puppet on a string, and he's doing things that I'm getting the credit for from the people. It's actually Yahweh who's doing these things. I could have never planned it out. I wouldn't have sense enough to plan it where it would work the way that he brought it forth. Do you see how humble Pastor is? He acknowledges that it is Yahweh that leads him in everything that he does. Pastor is just like Yeshua. He does nothing, will do nothing, and wants to do nothing on his own. So, how many of you have your mind on the true food today? You probably do, don't you? And Yahweh knew that you would. You would have your mind on this true food, which comes from Yahweh only, which is in his inspired laws. I put in the Yematria, one working under inspiration, because we just read where Pastor said he is inspired. One working under inspiration is number 2022, is one of the ones that came up. And in Hebrew, 2022 is mountain. And if you remember Micaiah 4, 1 through 3, it says, But in the last days, it will come to pass that the mountain, the promotion of the house of Yahweh, will be established in the chief of the nations. And we know and we can see that it has been. Now, I want to read another Book of Israel quote to you right now, because this is going to make you giggle a little bit. The sixth Book of Israel, chapter 19, verse 94. Pastor says, I want to get something in your mind. So he's wanting to put something in our mind. Now, this is a while ago, 2006. You have to believe Yahweh. So do we believe Yahweh? We have to believe Yahweh. I've had trouble getting people to even think about eating something that Yahweh says is clean. Do you know why, Pastor says? They were raised on potato chips, cola, and pork. Pork. It's one of the filthiest things you can put into your body. But people don't think twice about eating pork. But they curl their noses up at the thought of eating a grasshopper. Now, how many noses were curled today? I hope none. Now, here's what Pastor says, and I love this. He said, I believe Yahweh about the grasshopper and about everything. Everything. I believe Yahweh, and it's accounted to me as righteousness. Last sentence, there's another kicker. He likes to kick us a lot, doesn't he, spiritually? What is it going to be accounted to you as? Ah. So that's a question that only we can answer, right? We and Yahweh. So how many of us, please, hopefully not, I'm not the only one, how many of you failed at least one test that was set before you this week? Show of hands. Okay, great. I was hoping I wasn't the only one that failed at least one test that was set before me this week. How many of you with all your heart strive to pass every test set before you? Praise Yahweh. Okay, great. That's our heart. That's our heart. I want us to remember that. I want you to remember when Pastor said something to us recently. He said, if you are created, your creation, if you are created, you belong to the one who creates you. Do you remember when he said that? Until someone gives you authority, you have nothing. Do you remember when he said that? You are just yourself. You're just yourself until someone gives you authority. Yahweh gave Adam authority to name the animals and study at the tree of life. Yahshua gained that increase as he studied as well. His increase or his authority was given to him to be the high priest. Do you remember when Pastor told us that? These are just recent words he gave us. He wasn't born like this. He wasn't born having this authority. It was given to him because he qualified for it. I want everyone to remember that. He qualified for it. Practicing sin removes the authority and gives it back to the original owner. If Yahweh gives you authority and you sin, it goes back to the original owner, which is who? Yahweh. The power and authority that Satan introduced in Genesis chapters 1 through 3, did that come from Yahweh? That was a different kind of power and authority that came from the Catholic Church. Remember the divining serpent? It did not come from Yahweh. Pastor told us recently, he said, in that same sermon, that the tree of life offered, it was offered to them, but they rejected it. They would not take of it. They never took it. But it meant to increase. Remember when he said that? He said that that word authority meant to increase. It meant power and authority. Now, I want to read something to you. The Hebrew word for locust, number 697 in the Hebrew. Now, you remember Adam named this. It comes from 7235, and it says, a locust from its rapid increase. Grasshopper, locust. It comes from word number Hebrews 7235, which means to increase in whatever respect. Abundance, be in authority, bring up. Pastor's bringing us up. Yahweh's allowing him to bring us up. To excel exceedingly, be full, be, make great, grow up. Increase, belong, yield, multiply, plenty, nourish. It has a lot of meanings there. Locust, grasshopper, who to thunk it, right? That's an okie word on purpose. Now, if you remember in the times of old, the stories of our forefathers, remember when the locusts, they came in swarms, right? And if you remember, see, a grasshopper can turn into a locust. Did you know that? Grasshoppers can turn locusts because grasshoppers tend to like to be by themselves. But when they turn locust, it says, is when they start to go in a big, like, I guess, pack. And they start devouring everything. And that's what's going on right now. We see another possible plague, Pastor said, coming, where all these grasshoppers are coming and devouring everything. Now, you think about it. Have you ever just looked at a piece of fruit on a tree? And it looks so scrumptious, like maybe a piece of fruit, like a peach. I love peaches, nectarines, things like that. And you got it there, and you're looking at it, and you want to reach out and grab it. Imagine a swarm of locusts come. If each one of those locusts took one bite, just one bite, and there's a swarm of them, do you know that they could devour that whole tree to where there would be absolutely nothing left, and all that would occur would be the locusts hitting the ground? That's how quick. But if you can see, when the fruit was devoured and the trees and the vegetation were devoured and those locusts were plumped up, knowing that they're clean, Yahweh turned that plague into a blessing. Because imagine the vitamins and the minerals that would be in those creatures that just devoured all those things that you so wanted to eat, right? Now think about these things and know that Yahweh inspires our overseer in this time period to feed us everything, the spiritual and the physical food that will help us, because this careless weed that we don't know much about, did you know that it actually helps you to refuse evil? Now how quick we were to get our butter and honey because it tastes so nice, right? This weed is the same way. And we're going to learn more about this. And I encourage everyone to do some studying because it's in the books. It's in the books. So, knowing what we had for breakfast this morning, we had our weed and we had our locusts, right? And I really enjoyed that breakfast. How many of you enjoyed that breakfast? And did you know what? I was so nervous about me not having my coffee that I wouldn't even be able to stand up here and talk right. Well, don't judge me. But I actually feel more energy, and I don't have that headache I sometimes get. I feel great, don't you? Do you think Yahweh knows what he's doing here? He's in full control, 5:12. So, careless weed for this generation. I put that in the Yametria because it's coming back in this generation. But who's bringing it back? Careless weed for this generation. 3:22. The man that is tagged by Yahweh, our great and awesome overseer, Israel Hawkins. So, I hope that we listen very carefully to everything that was brought out today and believe and put our trust in Yahweh, and you will be blessed. We are so close, and I'm serious now. We are so close to walking into Yahweh's kingdom right now. Be true to Yahweh. Be loyal to the overseer. Don't throw away the authority that he gave you. He gave you authority to come here. Remember, no one can come to the house of Yahweh unless Yahweh, our great Father, draws him. Please stand. Please stand and welcome the great priest in Yahweh's house. Praise Yahweh.
Wow, we are so blessed to be in Yahweh's house, aren't we? And the Sabbath day is such a tremendous blessing. To continue on with this blessing, we get to hear from great Deacon Michael Ossoff.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. Yahweh's peace be with each and every one of you. Yes, what a wonderful blessing to be in Yahweh's house. Let's turn over to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Now, when I was working on this code search, it wasn't really hitting me like something really super exciting. It was great. It had some neat things. And I was tempted to push it aside and work on another one, the millennial reign. And something brought me back to it. I thought, no, I'll go ahead and finish it. And when I finished it, that's when all the stuff opened up, because there was stuff that was there, but it wasn't until the last few things went into place that crossed over everything that made the phrases all come together. And it goes right along with everything that's being brought today. So Psalm 118, verse 26, it reads, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh." And in these last days, we know that's Yisrael Abel Hawkins and all the great teachers and the people of Yahweh, and also great Yahshua Messiah, high priest. "We have blessed you out of the house of Yahweh." We have blessed you out of the house of Yahweh. There's a song that's written that, Yahweh willing, will be on the next song CD, and I want to read you the chorus. The song's called "The Many Blessings of Yahweh." And the chorus goes, "The many blessings of Yahweh are sitting right before our eyes, our teachers who have helped us come out of a world of hate and lies. Soon we'll see the end of sin and behold a new day. Out of Yahweh's house comes blessings from Yahweh." I thought that was just really spectacular, really great. So let's get into this code search, and it's called "The Blessings of Yahweh." That's what I put in the search, and it came up, and the skip was From the first letter to the next letter was 18,457 characters or letters. So it was pretty spread out. Okay, so if we got the here. All right. So right here is the main, and that's the blessings of Yahweh. The blessings of Yahweh. And let's just go for this. Okay. The first thing that came up was Abraham. Abraham. And he was a wonderful blessing for all of us who are sitting here today, and his example that he showed in being obedient to the way of Yahweh, the laws of Yahweh, and the teachings that he was being guided in. Then over here, we have chosen people. That's a wonderful blessing of Yahweh, to be the only ones on the face of the earth to know this information. And we've all talked to people and tried to explain the way of Yahweh to them, and it's just like you finally start to realize they don't get it. They have no understanding. We are chosen people to understand these things. That is a huge blessing. Over here, authority and power. The kingdom's being taken, one kingdom's being taken and given, being prepared to be given to another kingdom, and that's the kingdom of Yahweh, and the authority and power that we will have to bring peace and joy to every being in Yahweh's creation. That's a great blessing. Over here we have Abilene. What a blessing to be able to be here at Abilene, to be able to hear the laws of Yahweh being taught. And with that, right here we have Dabar Yahweh, laws of Yahweh. That was in there seven times. And we're going to come back to that. Then right after that, Yisroel. If it wasn't for Yahweh establishing the work through Yisroel Hawkins, we would not even be here. Yisroel Hawkins is a huge blessing to all of us in the world. And I don't think any of us disagree with that. Yisroel. And that was in there seven times. Right here we have Yahshua, which is connected to blessing of Yahweh. Without Yahshua's sacrifice and all that he did for us and all he's doing for us at this time, we would not be. We would not be able to have the understanding we have, the guidance and the strength we get from Yahweh's house. So we have Yahshua. Right here, we have glory. Glory and honor. Okay? And right here, these characters here, is guidance. And that was in there seven times. We get guidance from our teachers, as the song said. Our teachers who have helped us come out of a world of hate and lies. We have guidance from the priests and priestesses of the house of Yahweh. Okay? Over here we have hope. We have hope that there's going to be a new kingdom set up and that Yahweh is going to allow us to be part of that kingdom to bring peace. And that's the greatest hope that's ever been given to mankind. Okay? Right here we have crossing the blessings of Yahweh. We have humility. Okay, we're going to have to move a little quicker here. Humility. Here, these characters, we have HaKohan, or Hawkins. And that crosses 10, which is guidance. We get guidance from the priests, or from Yisroel Hawkins. Okay? Then over here, 14. 14 is understanding. Another blessing from Yahweh. 15. Unity and perfection. We're going to come back to that one. Unity and perfection. 16. Wisdom and knowledge. All wonderful blessings from Yahweh. Okay. Then right here, 17. And it crosses 7, 10, and 13. And it's Yasam. Yasam. Now, that's a word that only us here in the house of Yahweh know what it means and where it came from. It came from here, from the house of Yahweh, from the people of Yahweh. But when it crosses 7, 10, and 13, it says, Yasam guidance from Yisroel HaKohan. Yasam guidance from Yisroel HaKohan. What a huge blessing Yahweh's given us. Okay? Again, we're going to move quickly here. 18, we have Yahweh's mark upon us. Yahweh's mark. 19, we're blessed to be able to be part of Yahweh's work. Yahweh's work. Okay, 20, holiness. We're being taught the ways of holiness through the laws of Yahweh. Okay, 21, we have learning. another great blessing. 22, order through the peaceful solution, self-control, and understanding, and all the teachings that come from that that help us keep things in order in our lives and also in the things that we do and in interactions with other people. Things are in order, okay? 23, we have peace, okay? 24, we have praise from Yahweh in heaven and from our teachers when we accomplish great things in overcoming and as we draw closer to perfection, okay? We have praise from them. 25, we have a Redeemer, which no one else in the world has a Redeemer right now. Only the house of Yahweh has a high priest. They have no Redeemer. They have no hope. But one day they're going to be here, and then they will have a Redeemer. 26, subconscious mind. We're going to have that soon, the subconscious mind. Right here, greens. We love them greens, don't we? Blessing from Yahweh. They're very healthy for us. Okay? 28, we have counselors. Now, counselors crosses 14, 16, 21, and 24. And get this, counselors crosses understanding, wisdom, learning, and praise. Counselors crosses understanding, wisdom, knowledge, learning, and praise. And when we're obedient to those over us who are guiding us, we receive that praise from them because we're doing those things that are pleasing in their sight, in pastor's sight, in Yahshua's sight, and Yahweh's sight. Okay? Now this last one is really amazing. Turn over to Deuteronomy 12, and this goes right along with everything else. Deuteronomy 12, familiar scripture. I'm going to go ahead and start reading for time's sake here. Verse 5, it reads, "But you are to seek the habitation." Keep that word in mind, habitation of your father, the house of Yahweh, the place which Yahweh your father shall choose out of all your tribes to establish his name, and there you must go. Okay, let's go back to the codes. Okay, 29, which is right here, 29, and it is the Hebrew word for home, dwelling, habitat, household, family, established house. Now it crosses 6 and 15. And when you put all these Hebrew words together in order, it says a home, dwelling, habitat, household, and a family. An established house based upon the laws of Yahweh, unity, and perfection. That is what closes out this great search on the blessings of Yahweh. Now there were a couple other things that were in there. That I didn't have room, so I went ahead and put them at the bottom here. Computer. The computers can be a huge blessing, right? Can be a huge blessing. Completeness. Confessions. Menorah, the lampstand. Mount Sinai. Remember the commercial on Mount Sinai, climbing Mount Sinai, the house of Yahweh? Prophecies. We have knowledge of the prophecies that no one else in the world has. We have atonement. And we have sometimes roast sheep, and of course we have pastor's chili. And with that, the blessings of Yahweh are going to continue to come. And with that, I'll turn it back over to the great priest, the great Kohan, Michael Hawkins. Yahweh bless.
You notice in there about authority and power? But authority and power will never, ever be misused, right? Because authority and power comes from knowledge. It's the knowledge of Yahweh's ways. Right? It's a great blessing. So once again, to hear more about that, we'll turn it over to the great Kohan Binyamin Cross Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom. Yahweh's peace be with everyone. Please be seated. All right, go ahead and put the title slide up, please. Let's get right into this. This is going to be part two of last week's sermon, and there were tyrants on the earth, part two. We're calling this Incubator of Anger. Incubator of Anger. Okay, and we'll talk more about that as we go through. Okay, let's look at the first slide to remind you of why is this picture here of this angel with this woman? Remember, the thought in the mind of the Christians is that these angels came and they took women and they had children with these women. And this is not what this is talking about. in the house of Yahweh is clarifying this, has clarified it. And they're also showing now in the Yematria, that backing everything up that pastors taught us about this in the translation of the book of Yahweh. Let's look at Genesis 6:4. It says, there were tyrants on the earth in those days, and also afterward when the sons of the gods came in to the daughters of men and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty ones who are enemies of Yahweh, men which from even the days of old were known as men of an infamous name. Well, wow, infamous name. I wonder what that name, who this began with. Remember, we were taught that Cain was the first pope? When you put in enemies of Yahweh, men which from even days of old were known as men of an infamous name, it's 7014, and that means Cain. Cain in the Hebrew. And it's from 7013, which means a spear or lance. From 6969, lament, mourning, and wail. Talking about what will be occurring in these last days at the end of Cain, the way of Cain. By the way, today's date is 7420. Today's in the world, July 4th, Independence Day, right? And it means a spear, a lance. Same exact thing. Wow, what a coincidence that Yahweh would have this brought today, right? Let's go to the next slide, because last week I showed you this partially about Yahweh set a mark on Cain. I didn't show you this other number. The first number I did show you was 1782, and it means that's the year that the great seal that you see at the bottom of that slide was completed in 1782. And 1284, get this, from 7451, Ra, it's the word Ra, which you see that eye of Ra there, which is also over that pyramid. If you remember, Ra is actually Jupiter, Zeus, Amun-Ra, the Egyptians. It began in Egypt. This isn't anything new. Jupiter is what the Romans called this same god, okay, this Trinity god. Okay, and it means evil, bad men, wicked, misery, mark, noisome, grievous, sore. Wow, what a coincidence, right? Because it's showing this mark that's set on those that have the mark of the beast. Because it's not just talking about Cain. It's talking about Cain and all that follow Cain or the way of Cain. And then we know Yada 111 says the whole world has gone the way of Cain. Okay, so everyone that's following this world, this beastly system, has this noisome, grievous sore on them. Okay, now let's go to the next slide. Now, we know that Cain, he created Nimrod. He created rebels. Remember, Nimrod means he rebelled or rebel. That first number, 1302, and Cain created Nimrod rebels, means the son cut off. Yes, cut off from Yahweh, the sons of the gods, the sons that follow this way, and the daughters, by the way. It's not just men this is talking about. And the second number is 666, which is the mark of Cain and all of his followers and the mark of the beast. And you remember, you know, think of 1776, you know, because 1776 reminds most people in the world of today, July 4th, where they celebrate their independence from Britain. And they were called rebels that fought against the king of England. They were rebels. So this number 1776 has everything to do with rebellion. Okay, now notice, the rebels who oppose Yahweh, 1776, known as men of an infamous name, 1776. The tyrants, the mighty ones that we read about in Genesis 6:4, 1776. Mighty ones, enemies of Yahweh, 1776. Is that a coincidence? And that number is written on the bottom of this pyramid on your dollar bill. In Roman numerals, by the way. Why Roman numerals? Let's go to the next slide. We'll find out. So have you heard of the spirit of 76? Sometimes I tell people they have that spirit when, like, they don't tuck their shirt in or follow a rule. I'll say, you know, you're showing you got the spirit of 76. Well, the spirit of 76 is a patriotic sentiment typified by the zeitgeist. That word zeitgeist, by the way, it means the spirit of the times. The times, you know, the kind of spirit that was in the people at the time of this event. It's a patriotic sentiment typified by the zeitgeist surrounding the American Revolution. It refers to the attitude of self-determination and individual liberty made manifest in the U.S. Declaration of Independence. That's from Wikipedia. I put it word for word in Yematria, and let's see what comes up. The first number, 2206, means become envious, to be jealous of a person, eager to possess something, you know, like covetous, to bubble over because so hot, boiling, covet, to boil with envy, hatred, or anger, to envy one, pursue, from 2205, rivalry, jealousy, heat, fervent mind, malice, indignation. Okay, and it's from 2204, means to boil, be hot, to burn in spirit, to glow and be fervent. The second number, 1054, is the same number as that Jupiter. Remember, Jupiter is 1054, so this shows where this spirit comes from, this spirit of 76, this spirit of rebellion. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Remember that word zeitgeist, I had to tell you what it meant. It meant spirit of the time. Now notice, spirit of the time, 76. 2124 means beasts, wild beasts. Now, isn't it a coincidence that in 1976, 200 years later, Pastor wrote the Mark of the Beast? You see how beast is tied in with the spirit of 76, or the number 76. Now, 2400 means sinful, sinners, offenders, to bring sin, sinning and sin, trespass. And notice this. This is the spirit that it really is that 1 Yochanan 4:3 tells us. He says, this is the spirit of the anti-Messiah, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Remember, Yahshua said it's the system from the beginning, this new world order, this world order from the beginning, shown in this pyramid, the spirit of the anti-Messiah, 1776. Let's go to the next slide. This is a quote from Pastor in First Book of Israel, 1552. He says, Genesis 49, then Jacob called his sons and says, gather together to me so I can tell you what will befall you in the last day, or at the days, or the last days of your life. I want to tell you what you have done and show you what is going to take place in your life. Lives, gather together and listen. You sons of Jacob, listen to Yisrael, your father. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, the first sign of my strength, excelling in honor, exceeding in rank. This is how he should have been. I'm sorry, these words are real small for my eyes, but I apologize. It says, has been. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm having a difficult time. Okay, so Reuben committed a sin against his father, but because it says it brought on a dreadful thing, etc. Why don't you go ahead and read the rest through real quick? I cannot read this, but I do want to read this last part where it says, he defiled himself when he first started lusting after his father's wife. So that's where it starts. That's where the incubation begins. The incubation period begins when the lust begins in the heart. Okay, and that's what he wants to get across. He actually defiled himself there. He defiled himself when he first started lusting after his father's wife. What was the wickedness spoken of about Nimrod? That was part of Nimrod's sin. He made himself like Nimrod when he did this. Now, we know that Nimrod wasn't a person. That's been explained, but it's a system of rebellion. Remember, he made himself like Nimrod. Reuben, speaking of Reuben, let's look at this gematria of this statement that he gave, and it means 1185 means to allure, to entice, to entrap, and delude, and beguile, and deceive. Craft, deceit, treachery, guile, a trick, subtlety. These are all words used to describe Satan and the satanic system. Entice a victim into a moral trap. Injuring them in through their own selfish impulses. Remember, like Jacob says, why are we drawn away? We're drawn away by our own lusts and enticed. Remember? The second number, 7111, it means, if you notice, it means to be angry, become angry, wrathful, to become angry and furious. Okay, this is where this anger comes from. Okay, and it incubates. You know, it started incubating in Cain when he became angry with his brother, okay, at the very beginning. Abel, that was teaching righteousness. That next number, 7991, means a triangle, great lord of the highest rank, and that should remind you of this pyramid, this trinity, which the triangle represents, with this trinity god of Egypt, Amun, Ra, Ptah. If you remember, they're all the same person, one god wrapped into one. Kind of like the Sertz candies, three candies in one, or three flavors or something. Never mind. Let me move on. Next slide, please. Okay, now, when you put in all those different meanings there that I just read you, you get the number 4513, and it means Roman. Rome. Roman citizen. This is how you become a Roman citizen, by the way. Just behave like Cain. Incubate anger within you. And then it's from 4516, and it means Rome, Roman Empire. And it's in 4517, and it means to be strong. Remember, Pastor said Roman meant strong soldier. The second number, 2707, means to carve, to engrave, to portray, to set a print, carved work. That has to do with what Cain was allowing in his mind. He was carving, he was imprinting and portraying, setting prints of anger and hatred and sin in his heart, and that's how he became. And that's, we'll learn more about that later. Can I have my next slide? Now, he made himself like Nimrod is when he did this. When you put that in your matria, you get 2124, and it means beasts and wild beasts. Wow, what a coincidence, right? And then 1668, now get this. This is the word used in Revelation 16:2. It's the word sore. That noisome, grievous sore that's spoken of in Revelation 16:2. The mark that are on the men with the mark of the beast, or the mark of Cain. Remember, the mark Cain was marked from the beginning with this number. And the end result would be this virus and all that goes with it, as we're going to see here in a moment. Let's go to the next slide. You remember, Yahshua told this line here. He said, the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians that follow Cain, he said, upon you will come all the righteous bloodshed upon the whole earth. Remember when they've defiled the soil with the blood? He said, it's all going to come on you in the end. Now notice, from the blood of righteous Abel, that's when it started, 1776. Okay, that's when it began. That's the number at the base of that great pyramid there. They call it the Great Pyramid. Now let's go to the next slide, because this week there was a very interesting article up on Drudge Report, and it said Americans are living in a big anger incubator. Experts have tips for regulating our rage. I encourage you to go read that article, because the lady that wrote it, she was right on the peaceful solution, except a couple points. Okay, but I'm just going to look. Notice the first line. She said Americans are angry. Well, she's right, but I've added Americans and the world are angry. 1776, because the whole world has gone the way of Cain. Let's go to the next slide. She called it a big anger incubator. 996, remember that number is about the handing over of the kingdoms. And we showed a few months ago when those comets were going by, something was getting ready to take place. Yahweh showed it before it came. And if you remember, when you put in Psalm 46, 2 and 3, therefore we will not fear in the changing of the earth and in the moving of mountains into the seas, may its waters roar and foam. Well, what are the waters? The waters of the people. The people got into an uproar in May, right? Because on May 25th, this man was brutally murdered by a police officer in Minnesota, which means Water City. And that's where it all began. And that's where the New York Post put up the word mayhem, because of all the looting and rioting that began. And it went worldwide, didn't it? Let's go to the next slide. That second number in Psalm 46 is 1011, and it alludes to Zechariah 1011, where it says, he will pass through the sea with affliction. He will strike the waves in the sea, and all the depths of the Nile River will dry up. And the pride of Assyria will be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt will depart. Now notice, pass through the sea is 1260 because it's in the last 3.5 years this is speaking about right here. We'll strike through the waves in the sea, 322. Yes, he's the one that's teaching, striking the system, so to speak, smiting. Not smiting with a hammer or a fist or a hand across the face, but with the laws of Yahweh, teaching, guiding, trying to show the world why they're having these problems. All the depths of the Nile River, or all the deep things of Satan that go with it, 1776. Let's go to the next slide. Because a little further in the article, the woman says, according to psychiatrist Joshua something, the country is now dealing with three disasters superimposed on top of one another. The pandemic, the economic fallout, and civil unrest. So she shows three things. You put the pandemic, the economic fallout, and civil unrest in gematria. Notice, you get 2796, which means strike, smite, plague, inflict the disease, striking, plagued. The second, when you add up the two numbers, I apologize, add up the two numbers, you get 5032, which means that what I just said, and 5062, I'm sorry. It's supposed to be 5062. That's a misprint there. 5062 in the Greek means four, symbolizing universality, or in other words, total coverage and inclusion. Remember, the whole world is being struck with this plague. Okay? The whole world. And not just, remember, Pastor taught us at Pentecost afternoon that it wasn't just the coronavirus. It was the economic pain and all the other suffering that's going with it, right? So go to the next slide. Let's prove he was right. When you put in those words I just gave you, strike, smite, struck, plague, etc., total coverage, it's 1044 double, and it means to plague. I'm sorry, it means to gnaw, like gnaw with the tongue, an ulcer, a gangrene, canker, like a sore. When you add up 1044 together, you get 2088, which means this way, origin, you know, the way of Cain. It originated, the first woman follows here, now, today, completely, one side and the other, one as well as another. And Pastor, that number 2088, remember he taught us that it's covering everyone and it's pain of all these different things that lady mentioned. He taught that at the Feast of Pentecost afternoon service, 2088. Remember, 2088 also means the one, the other, the two witnesses. Can I have the next slide? So when you put in 1044, the meanings, to gnaw, an ulcer, a gangrene, canker, notice you get 1668 again. That number that means from Revelation 16:2, and it means a sore, that noisome, grievous sore. And it's from 1670, and it means to persuade. Because that's what Yahweh's trying to do. He's trying to persuade the people, turn from your sins. It's your sin that's causing these plagues. Now in Revelation 16:2 it says, and the first went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and there came a noisome and grievous sore upon the men who had the mark of the beast and upon those who worshipped his likeness. Notice, the noisome, grievous sore, 1776. Next slide. In Yada 1:11, it says, woe to them. Remember that woe, this first woe? Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. A woe to them in the way of Cain, 1668. The sore again, the noisome sore. And 28:21 means to become or grow dark, blacker, darken, become more black. Okay, it's going to become darker with sin. And it's upon all who dwell on the earth, 1668, which means a sore, okay? Okay, my last slide here. The way of Cain, big anger incubator, the incubators of anger and hatred, and harboring anger in the incubator all come to 1776. And finally, the last one, because here's what we're looking for, the nuclear baby in the incubator. Last slide, please. The nuclear baby in the incubator that's about to be born, 1776, because it says down at the bottom, the incubation period is over. 1776. So what do you think, House of Yahweh? You think we're on the edge of something? I would say. And I would get excited too, okay? And enjoy the great meals that our great overseer is providing for us. And at this time, if everyone would all please stand. At this time, I'd like to turn it over to the great Kohan Michael Hawkins.
A lot of fighting going on in the world as we see there, right? But they fight for the wrong reason. They should be fighting for righteousness, right? But to fight against deception is the thing that the House of Yahweh does. And to further our studies, we get to hear from the great Kohan Yehuda Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. I'll say it shalom again. I may have missed the microphone. Please take your Book of Yahweh and turn to page 98. We're going to look at one scripture because we're not going to stay with it too long. It's Leviticus 19, verse 18. Does anybody know anything else about Leviticus 19:18? Yeshua quoted it. It reads, Leviticus 19:18, it reads, "Do not seek revenge nor bear a grudge against any one of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am Yahweh." Now, there are two great commandments Yeshua talked about. Which one is this one? It's the second. The first one is Shema. Now, let's see. Put on the interlinear, please. And if you look, I circled some words there. The word I want you to look at is the word that's translated love. It's the Hebrew word ahab. That's aleph, hey, bet. And there's some very serious things about this we need to talk about for a few minutes. Not long, but a few minutes. As is circled, that word love is the English translation of the Hebrew word ahab that is written in Leviticus 19:18. Now, the English word love, it sounds very romantic at first. It sounds like you're watching Love Story or something to that effect in the movies or Just Married, the Brady Bunch, or whatever. But the point of the matter is, as this word was being looked at, and Pastor was one of the ones that kept looking at it, he started seeing something that was really scary. And as usual, you know, Yahweh wasn't trying, but he was telling him, you got to tell the people with this one thing. As I said, the Hebrew word there is translated love. It's ahab. It's slightly respelled for the tense and the gender, but it is ahab. This word is listed on page 12 of a compendious and complete Hebrew and English lexicon to the Old Testament by Benjamin Davidson, Davies, D-A-V-I-E-S, not Davidson. This is another gentleman. They were both Hebrews, teachers. Both of them were on the run from Popes Pius the Ninth and Tenth and everything, and they would have been in a rotting jail cell that made Alcatraz look like a hotel plush, because the nations would go into war trying to burn them at the stake anymore, but they didn't care if they locked them in a rat hole, you know, that even a rat wouldn't live in. And that's exactly the way it was. But Dr. Davies pointed out something. Now, if you'll switch over to the next one, number two. It's pretty big there, but I wanted you to see it. If you'll notice, this word means love, and they all acknowledge that, to love. But look else what it says. It says to breathe after, to love as between the sexes, the males and the females, the men and the women. To lust. Now, I don't know about you. My feeling on this thing is this is serious business. It's because in the English, this word has been butchered. If you will look up here at these two things, here's where it got butchered starting out. Look at those little marks under those two words. That's ahab. They are called vowel points. and they are there for a reason. And we'll talk about that at length tomorrow. But today it's very important just to get the point across. The English translation, love, can mean to breathe after as between a man and a woman, or to lust. But I never knew that it said, thou shalt lust after thy neighbor as thyself. But all you hear is that stuff in rock songs and that's pop music and things. All I want to do, and I won't go any further, and things like that. We'll talk about that at depth tomorrow. The point of the matter is there really is a need among Yahweh's people to use another word that more properly expresses what Yahweh is saying. And I ask you, would the English language tell you that? Or would the word of Yahweh in what language tell you that? Which is which language? Without any marks or scratches called vowel points. The Hebrew language. Therefore, we have come to the conclusion that when you read a scripture like Leviticus 19:18, even in the King James or Douay Version Catholic Bible, when it said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you should say, thou shalt ahab thy neighbor as thyself, using the word as it means in the original Hebrew. Because I never knew Yahweh ever said that a righteous man commits adultery, fornication, sodomy, whatever. So it's a very valid thing. We talked about it at length, and what we're going to do is we want everyone, wherever you see the word love, because every word in the scripture traces back to this word as it is in various forms of spelling, according to Julius' first lexicon on this and everything. But it's ahab, aleph, hey, bet. Pronounce A-H-A-B with low pronunciation, ahab. It's not hard to do at all. Ahab. If you say, if you're married, you have children, from now on, let's say, I ahab you very much. We're trying to do it the way Yahweh does it. And that's what he's telling you. For this is the ahab of Yahweh, that we keep all of his words, starting with his commandments, for these commandments and laws are not grievous. All over the scriptures it says, Yahweh loves you in a Bible. Let's go with Yahweh ahabs you. I know it's a new word. It sounds out of place because almost all of us were brought up in the English language. But Yahweh's language should prevail. The English word love, as you can see, because of what we'll talk about next time, false pens of false scribes, churches, yes, some synagogues, and other religions, they have wrought falsehood. And Jeremiah and the book of Yohanan Mark has whole chapters devoted to this. But take it upon yourself to know and believe. The English word love is too dangerous. When you talk about I love you, for some people, they think you're making a pass at them. And they may not be the opposite gender even. Instead of saying, I love you, as an example, we would start saying, I have you. And with that, may the Yahweh who told us these things bless your understanding. And I turn the services back to the great Kohan Michael.
Knowledge is power, right? And that's where we get our understanding is through Yahweh's word. But we got to continue to keep going on and learning what's out in the world going on, too, so we can always understand what the prophecies of Yahweh speak about. And so our next speaker is the great Kohan Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. Peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now, before we get into the news, I want to show you something very quickly. And write down for your notes, this sermon was given the 8th Roman month, the 11th day of 2012. And it's chapter 5, of course, in the 12th book of Israel, part 2. And I want to read you something that Pastor put in there. And he said, can you make it rain? He was asking us a question. Can you make raindrops? Well, these teeny little things you can't see can actually make raindrops. So Yahweh has put some knowledge in those things and they enjoy life. We know that. So with all these things combined, we know that there are some great kingdoms that we're feeding some really poisonous stuff to. Speaking of mankind, the decisions they're making. And they're trying to take care of you, as we're going to see. We'll get into this deeper. There's yet more, and I'll show you where Yahweh says that they look like grasshoppers. And he said, you can see them, grasshoppers. Well, look at a grasshopper. I know that some of you have been picking grasshoppers, and they're very healthy. They're a healthy food, but if you just study the grasshopper, there's much said about him in the Holy Scriptures. But of a night, he walks up, he finds the highest limb, and he goes up there, and he rests all night. He doesn't even move until the next morning when he starts getting warm, and then he finds something to eat, and he cleans up the earth, and he makes it into a usable substance, yes, to fertilize the land. And he's eating a lot of things we probably wouldn't have the grasshopper in the abundance we have if we had healthy plants. But the fact is, we don't have healthy plants, and they're trying to protect the soil. They're trying to serve the kingdoms beneath the soil. The kingdoms beneath the soil. The ground that is pushing it up, saying, we don't know what to do with it. You take it. Well, if it wasn't so much of that poison coming up from the ground, the grasshopper may not be there in that large of abundance. I notice they keep increasing every year along with the heat and along with the drought. And then over to the 7th book of Israel, it's important to put these things together. Pastor says, now this is done by a microorganism. Now think about this one. I would tell you this, I wouldn't tell you this, except I'll tell you that it's not harmful to man. None of this is. Yahweh created this, and they're for a purpose. Every one of these things I mentioned, there's a certain host that takes refuge in a grasshopper. Now, this is the strangest thing, but it works. Yahweh made it work. Now, he can't complete the cycle on earth, on land, so it actually enters the brain of a grasshopper, if you want to call it a brain, and it makes the grasshopper. Have you ever seen a grasshopper plowing to the water? They're not flying out there to eat or drink of the water. They're actually being controlled, like you would a cow bringing her into the barn to give milk. Think of bigger animals that we control. Well, that's the way this teeny microorganism gets in that grasshopper's brain and causes that grasshopper to fly into the water. And of course, it's got to be eaten by a fish, and then this microorganism takes life in the fish itself. So whatever eats that grasshopper takes what the grasshopper had, and it becomes useful to that person. I want to show you something. Pastor gave sermons about grasshoppers many years ago, and a very diligent man that makes staffs for all the priests. I want to show you what he was, if I don't mess up stuff, if you can zoom in on this. I want to show you. He made the staff years ago, and if you notice what he put on it, do you see the grasshoppers? There's grasshoppers, and there's another grasshopper, and another grasshopper. And what he put on it, of course, had to do with the sermon. And it says, Yahweh who judges above the ferment of the earth and its inhabitants. Of course, he judges like the grasshoppers. And of course, Yisrael Hawkins and Jacob. And of course, we're speaking of controlling the microorganisms. And I hope everyone understands what takes place when the microorganisms can trust you. You can do a job. Well, this world isn't succeeding at what they're supposed to be doing. They're deceived by that old dragon called the devil, that serpent called the devil and Satan, as Revelation says. And we look out into this world and we see what's going on in the news of Venezuela. And of course, with Venezuela, we have them doing business with Iran. And why are they doing business with Iran? Because they've been sanctioned. The leaders aren't complying with this beastly governmental system. And of course, it's ruled from the seven hills of Rome, and it works with the most powerful nation, where you do what we say or else we will shut you down until your people cry out and rid you from leadership. It's a way of making people suffering, so it's compliance with force, which is exactly opposite from what Yahweh says. Well, they're doing business with oil, and remember, hurt not the oil and the wine, but the United States is now seeking to officially sue Iran and shut down the transportation of oil between Iran and Venezuela. One has oil that's crude, and the other one has the chemical to refine it, so together they're able to do business and put money back into their governmental systems, but they're trying to bypass the sanctions. Well, of course, this isn't going to work. And you have Venezuelan, the United Nations is saying the Venezuelan people are suffering greatly, that they need to supply the people with food, just basic common necessities. Well, Venezuela has 31 tons of gold that's sitting in the UK bank, and they tried to withdraw some of their gold. This is their money. Imagine you having money in your bank, and you go to withdraw your money so you can buy food for your family, and the bank looks at you and goes, no, you can't have it. The United States said so. So here they have all this money, they have all this oil, but they're dirt poor. They have nothing. You can have all the riches of the world and still have absolutely nothing. And this is what Yahweh is calling us out of. This is not care and concern for your fellow man. And then while this takes place, we still have the peace treaty moving full steam ahead. And of course, you heard about annexation, and that was supposed to take place, but it was held off. And remember what Palestine said, if you do this, two-state solution's done, we quit. So you know that's not going to take place. Well, this last week, you have the UN once again telling Israel, this is what you need to do, and Palestine coming out, Mahmoud Abbas saying, if the quartet will get involved, we will agree to the decisions that were made many years ago. Speaking of the agreement that was signed on the White House lawn September 13th, went into effect October 13th. This is the seven-year agreement, the same agreement that was brought from the beginning. And while all this is taking place, you have the pestilence of COVID-19 spreading throughout the world, this disease, this pandemic, it's spreading throughout the world, and it shows that 1/4 of all deaths have come from the United States of America. Now, I want you to listen because governors are saying these are the main causes of resurgence. And I want you to think, where did you hear somebody mention these three things and tell you to stay away from them? Bars, nightclubs, and beaches. They're saying that's the greatest spread of this COVID-19. Who's leading in it? Of course, you have Florida, lots of beaches. Arizona, lots of bars. Texas, lots of bars. And California, lots of bars and beaches. So you have all of them put together, but they think they're immune to this. I can do what I want to do, and I'm not going to surely die. Well, that's the same lie that was told from the beginning. From the beginning, these things were told. Well, here in Texas, especially in Abilene, you're going to see what the governor has to say, where they're trying to control it. They're trying to do everything without shutting the economy back down. And take this. Many years ago, Pastor told us, the House of Yahweh, to wear a mask when you go into the world. People were ridiculed. Our shoppers were ridiculed. Those that went into the banks were ridiculed and told they shouldn't. You're not allowed to wear that here. Well, who would have thought just a few years later, if you get caught not wearing a mask in public in Abilene, you first get a warning. The second time, you get a $250 fine in Abilene right now if you're not wearing a mask in public. So who would have thought, not only are they now complying with the words of the one sent, but they're going to fine you if you don't do what he said. Now, there's a lot to this, and don't think, oh, this is just a coincidence. The words of the seventh Malak penetrate deep into the minds of those who think they're not listening, but when it comes time for help and they need help, they cry out to Yahweh. They don't know it, but that's what you're training for. And just to share one more thing, as you sit here today, there's a country right now that is fasting, and they're crying out, and they ask, can we fast because we want to do something? So what do you want to do? We're all praying that Yahweh will open our minds to what the House of Yahweh is teaching. And that's what our jobs are to do. So please take that, watch the news, and remember, the seventh Malak brought this long before the world could ever show you. At this time, if we could please play the news.
Greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh.
If Yahweh's house gets any fuller, we may have to stand on one another's heads. Father, they're all yours, Father. Father, Yahweh, you trained them. Yahweh bless you. Shalom. Be seated, please. just looking at the news here, Kohan Elia, I've been running in place, I'm a little out of breath, but Kohan Elia just told me that about it, but this Bob Bartlett, he was here when I moved here in 67. He was the very first one. I was on the police department in the days of, we're still either building or I think we had to Presser and built at that time. You need this history. And myself and Gene Gresham went to Bob Bartlett, and we did a show, the first show in Abilene, live show, on the name Yahweh. Now, I don't know if this is in the year 1967, but it was really close. I don't think I'd been there long, and I was still on the police department when he and I went there and did that show. That man sitting beside him, his name is, he's the governor now of Texas. His brother lived next to me for years at Two Angels Breath Road. He lived just over this on the other side, him and his mother, for years, but just a few feet from us there. And this man is either the brother or the father of Dan Abbott, who was my neighbor out there, who I think I can tell it without hurting any of them now. But he's the one that called me sometime after the homestead was built. And I hired him to get my name changed. He's the one that volunteered for it. He's the one that called me when we found out that the U.S. government was going to destroy the House of Yahweh. He was a judge and attorney. And he called me and says, "Bill, what in the world are you guys doing out there?" That's the way he started. And I told him everything we were doing. He's the one that called the FBI. Then he turned and asked me if I would call the FBI back and tell me who to call, which I called. I don't remember if they said they were going to place me under house arrest or what, but something like that. But definitely, he indicated that they were going to come get us. That was the FBI. I told him, I said, "Come on, we have nothing to hide." Now, at that time, our enemies had said we were, when we was building this sanctuary here, that was the time of it. We was building a sanctuary. The enemies started reporting that we were bearing guns. That brings up the subject to, I would like for everyone in the House of Yahweh, if you got a gun, no matter what it is, I don't care if it's a BB, a slingshot, whatever. Just get rid of it all. Guns, totally get rid of them. Now, if you want to know why, I'll be covering this subject in a few weeks, maybe. But you can find it yourself quickly in 1 Samuel, the 7th and 8th chapters. And Yahweh tells you for you to put your trust. He won't let you down. He's going to stop war. Surely you know he can protect you from any guns anywhere. We don't have to use them to defend ourselves. That's Satan's doing. Well, anyway, Yahweh put us all together here, you know, and the ones have stayed with us all this time are still here. And Bob Bartlett, I don't know if he was then, but he is, I heard that he is now, one of the great lords of Abilene. I'm glad he is. That's a prestigious job, and I think he's doing a wonderful job at it right now. Okay, start here, the grasshopper. I'm not going to preach this sermon. There are several of Yahweh's daughters that begged this week. They were working. They've been working for quite some time. Heavy work. These are more or less secretaries and things like that, but they were doing heavy men's work. And all the time they work, I noticed, they're all teaching each other or trying to teach me. And they asked me to come and speak to them that day. It's going to take a few minutes off and let me say a word or two. And I think I wound up teaching for about an hour and a half or 2 hours to them. And they forced me to eat some dinner. At least I act like I was eating. I was actually fasting, but I went ahead and pretended I ate something and drank something. But I could smell it. It was really great. The grasshopper, I guess he's probably the most hated, lied about insect on the face of the earth. And they're going to show you this grasshopper is capable. And Yahweh says he's going to give us the power to use this grasshopper to actually resurrect the dead. In the time of famine, that grasshopper we call grasshopper, he's also called locust. And the locusts are swarming big time here on the House of Yahweh property. They started swarming a long time ago. Hope you caught that on the news. You can't even see a grasshopper when they're bringing, they're so thick, they blot out the sun when they're coming to all the people who planted crops. They're coming to eat them up and eat the crops. And they're great at this, very great. If a swarm of grasshoppers, if you had one of these careless weeds this tall or taller, and it was fully loaded, and you wanted a twig off of it, the swarm was coming in. You saw them gather on the grass on this tree here, and you said, "Well, I want one of them leaves." So you start to reach out to get it. There's nothing there. It disappeared. All of a sudden, they're that fast. What they do, they swarm all over that thing, and each one of them gets a bite of that red weed, that careless weed. They'll tell you what all that means and what the word careless weed, careless and weed, both mean in Hebrew. You need that desperately. That grasshopper and that careless weed are on trial right now, along with you, in all courts of heaven and earth. Yahweh has made this so only today, for the first time today, with you. Yes, you are right now, whether you know it or not, being watched and going to make a decision. They're going to make a decision today. Heaven and earth are making a decision concerning you, the careless weed, and the grasshopper or locust. Oh, it's wonderful, brother. It's I keep wanting to tell you what the grass offer. Well, I won't. On trial, in all courts of earth and heaven today, along with now the house of Yahweh, every saint in the house of Yahweh is on trial, and our Savior and most honorable Yahshua Messiah is defending us. Defending us because Yahweh allows man to do this whole job. He does not take any glory, but he allows mankind to take all the glory. And what he's doing and what he's told heaven and earth, these are my sons and my daughter, I will train them to be keepers of all of you and stop war. They'll heal all your diseases. The same promise that was made to the heavens was made to the 12 tribes of Israel. Come and get this pickup truck full of milk and honey. It's sitting here waiting on you. The house of Yahweh will be established today. Yahweh said, I will establish my house. It hasn't been established yet. It's got to be chosen by you. The high priest has got to be chosen by you. Your decision is going to be shown in heaven and earth today. And Yahweh says, you, my sons and daughters. My daughters are actually in the lead doing this, he says. Man can't be righteous without the woman. He can't even be close to it. You don't have to have a wife to have a woman. The women, many of them, are right here, right now, to guide you and teach you. Come down off of your high horse and listen, even if you have to bend it to the ground. Listen to them. And I would I could stop this crying. The house of Yahweh will be established today by Yahweh's daughters. Today. Now that takes place today. By Yahweh's daughters, you backing them, of course, as the only ones who will feed those in all famine countries in those days of the seven last plagues. We're in it now. We're in the first one. This had to be established. This was a set time. Yahweh set the time, and today it's being established by all saints in the house of Yahweh. This is Yahweh's day also of decision. Decision. Today is Yahweh's day of decision based on the findings of the heavenly courts. He wants their approval. Satan wants their disapproval. Satan is fighting against you, the careless weed, and the lowly grasshopper. The lowly grasshopper, it's called in Hebrew locust. They'll be giving you all that information too. He will declare whether you need more time to prepare. To prepare after he hears the courts of heaven, and he's going to make a decision whether you need more time to prepare if there has to be a next trial. I don't believe there's going to be another one because of the scripture that says there's no more delays. Whether he will establish you to take the upper job, the most glorious job of all in Yahweh's house of Yahweh, the kingdom of Yahweh, depends on what the courts of heaven decide today. Heaven and earth, because these people are still here, and believe me, as Yahweh says, we're on trial here, whether you know it or not. And the gematria shows it too, that the hatred for the house of Yahweh is strong, the strongest it's ever been, because of what is taking place right today. You're being tried in every court in the universe and on earth. Yeshua is the defense attorney. Attorney that you choose this day. It's got to be your choice too. He's got to be your choice. He qualified for all this. Now remember, even raising the dead, which Yeshua, even though he is going to be established by you to raise the dead, he's going to let you do it while he watches and cheers. Exodus 20:20, if you'll turn there and read it. You may all know that by heart. I really in hopes you do. It's a scripture you must have in order to be saved. He gives Yahweh strength there before it. And in verse 20, Moshe says, as I'm saying now to the people, do not fear. Now this is a time of fear. Not only the great seven plagues, which we love and now see them coming, prayed for them, spoke of it many, many years ago, wrote it in a book for you. It is written in black and white, come and test Yahweh out. Put him on trial too. He wants you to. Try to find one mistake. If you can find one mistake, his whole plan is stopped. Just one. Satan and Sparrowmore. Come on, do your thing. Come on, try it. Yahweh is the only, one and only perfect being. He never makes a mistake. He even writes it down and says, test me and see. He's been doing that for years. Yet they rejected that knowledge. How do you learn knowledge? I'm asking everybody that can hear me. Now, Yahweh wants you to prove this. Now, it's going to seem impossible, but how can you possibly learn without experiment? Experimenting, taking. How can you possibly learn without experimenting? That is the number one deception that Satan taught Eve. And Eve, she wasn't wicked or anything. That's probably, I know she's the grandest woman on earth. She assisted Adam in naming the animals, naming everything. You'd have to have, I doubt if giant computers today could even number the animals, as vast as they are. But Adam and Eve both had their subconscious mind. I hope you, if you don't remember all the work, that all the lessons, all the knowledge that was brought out from the house of Yahweh years and years ago, it was heard and written. You can go back easily and start reading those and see that original sin. That original sin was so simple, Eve was gullible. I mean, like everybody today, she wasn't a wicked person. She was very righteous at the time, and she gave in thinking it was the very best thing for Yahweh's people. And she said, Satan said this was very desirable, so Eve wanted that for her people, for Adam's people, for Yahweh's people. So she gave in and said, okay, rejoicing. Well, the Yahweh's daughters will also bring that out. Moshe said to the people, do not fear, for Yahweh has come to test you. Now know that this is only speaking to us, not any of them before us. This book of Yahweh was never even put together. Once it was put together, the Catholic Church, out of much love for each other, decided to take the name Yahweh out, replace it with many other God's names that they wanted to honor. What would be wrong with that? The women are also going to show you. And you're going to have to make your decision there whether to accept eternal life or any of these changes. You can't change anything. Read Revelations. If you change anything, you suffer the curse. The curse is sickness, disease, wars, and death. The things that protect you from that, like the lowly grasshopper and the careless weed, you rejected in the beginning. That was part of the rejecting of the work of Yahweh, eternal life, resurrection, and everything. Okay, Yahweh has come to test and prove you. Prove you for what? He's going to put you before the heavenly courts, and for 6,000 years, they're going to try you, and if you got one little fault, you're not going to make it. I've tried in the past, and I think I've done a decent job, and I will do it again if Yahweh permits. I have scolded, I have yelled, just like Yahweh. My father and mother taught me how to do that. I used to go get the cows when I was very young. I think I was in the first grade, and my job was, Dad would hide and watch me, make sure I was all right. But my job was to go to the back side of the pasture and bring those cows who rebelled against me much, but I finally got them to the lot, maybe 2 hours late for milking, but I got them there. And he said, Bill, wouldn't it be better just to call them? I think that was Yahweh speaking and saying, Bill, you can't go out and search each world out for these people, these lambs. Just call them. They'll come. And that's what I'm doing today, of course. But I said, how would you call a cow, Daddy, or something like that? I don't remember. So he told me, just holler at them. Yell at them. What do you mean by that? Ask Yahweh. He did. I don't know he said that, but he told me to ask somebody, and I think he was. And he said, I don't want to tell you. Let your Creator tell you, something like that. So I pondered it a little and then kicked a can or two, a rock or two, and forgot about it. Later on, I think I was stumbling around in the pasture chasing cows. I got angry, left the cows, and told them, come on or stay here. I don't care. Well, they followed me. I thought, man, this is crazy. The next day, I went out to the barn, half a mile from the cattle or more. I said, hey, y'all come on. Man, I was so surprised. They looked up with joy and gladness looking at me, and here they came. I'm not lying. Yahweh knows that. A few years ago, I read about one of the powers, a mighty power, that was shown to Yahshua. It actually wasn't given to him then. It's going to be given to him by the women today. They are going to establish Yahshua to actually take the place of Satan, the great job that was that Yahweh established Satan for. They're going to establish him to take the place, then he will in turn around and establish us to do the work. You can't get more glorious than that. You can't have more joy out of anything. Well, 2020, now you're on trial. Do not fear, for Yahweh has come to test you, to put you on trial, to try you, so that the reverence of Yahweh will be with you. This reverence is something that you're going to cause the heavens and the earth to accept. By being like Yahweh, teaching like Yahweh, holler and yelling like Yahweh, and Yahshua, all the prophets and apostles and saints yelled at the people. It's not a sin, it's a calling. Yahweh tells us to do it, learn to do it. Well, a few years ago, certain ones with me and a group, a large group now, they found out I could call fish like Yahshua. I think we were on that stage over there at that time. I don't remember everybody that went. I remember Rhea Chikina, Panaya Hawkins, the man that Yahweh chose that caught the newsman, Peter, actually Kepha Jennings, I think. Oh, Clifford Clark. Now, Satan actually tricked him away for a few years, but if he's here, I would you'd stand up and wave. Praise Yahweh, way back there. He was there. I think his son and his families were there. They all saw it, and they can testify. I see the women sitting here looking at me, smiling, one of them. Rhea Chikina, I hope, is looking this way and smiling. Are you here? Wave your hand. Don't see her. Anyway, she's a wonderful, wonderful cook and servant who cooks your food. Her and a group of the most devoted women on earth are in there, breaking their fingernails, pulling their hair, screaming, yelling. No need to eat baby, cleaning the bathrooms too, making sure they kosher before they do so you can eat clean foods. They're doing it all. Well, when we went down there that day, we had the pond full, I guess. I think all the way full, muddy, you couldn't see anything. I think it was Clifford Clark that actually carried me some food to feed the fish, because I never called them unless I fed them. So it wasn't no miracle, it's just Yahweh gave me that power for a moment. Yahshua, the women and Yahshua, will give me that power forever very soon. It's all already prophesied. It's written. It's going to come to pass. Praise Yahweh. So I walked out there to the pond. I said, does anybody see any fish? No, no fish. Not even a wave on the water, I don't think. I said, why don't y'all try first? So I don't know if Clifford Clark tried, but there's several of the others did. They hollered, yelled, did everything, no fish. I didn't holler loud, when they asked me to do it, I said, "You fish, come on over here and make your appearance." They said, one of them looked, said, "Look at the wave way over there on the other side." They were way on the other side. But you could see there's boiling the water trying to get to this voice that was calling them. Beautiful. I think we got films, don't we? Do we? I know y'all took them, right? Clifford, you still there? Did they get films? Maybe we can get them and show them before this 2 days is up. It'd be glorious. Anyway, that's for the disbeliever. The believers know this and believe it as soon as I tell it, maybe before. Now, you can do all of this if you don't live like Yahweh lives and overcome. This won't mean a thing. What the heavens and earth courts are looking for is one mistake. That's all they need, just one tiny mistake, and they will holler and yell defiantly against Yahweh and Yahshua and say, "You think that stupid bunch of grasshopper eaters is going to lead us? You gotta be joking." Now, this is what's going to go on in the heavenly courts. But we, Yahweh, though outnumbered by billions, and he created these billions, by the way, they outnumber us and him really big time. They can't win that trial. Yahweh allows you, going to allow you, already said it, in writing, the women are going to show you step by step. Yahweh is going to win. He's not going to do it. Actually, he has put you there, you and Yahshua. And if you don't win it, it'll be passed on or redone or whatever. Maybe to another kind of being. There's nothing like that in Scripture. So I'll tell you now, there is nothing. This is going to be it. You are going to be the winners. Absolute. And every word of Yahweh concerning this, you really need to read and study it. It tells you the outcome. It tells you what you must do to take this place, be saved, resurrect the dead, all of these things. In Deuteronomy 30, if you want to turn there quickly, Deuteronomy 30, this shows a little more here about this trial that's going on right now. It's never been before. This is written by us. This book never reached anybody but the house of Yahweh in this generation. It was written, Yahweh gathered it, put it together, he says, Isaiah 34:16. Yahweh put this thing together, gathered the parts, had men and women put it together. It was arrested by the Roman Catholic Church, who I intend never to ever condemn again. I've covered those sermons fully, and I think Yahweh wants me to go on from here and bring forth the blessings, the honor, things like this, the wonderful works instead of the wicked work. If I have to, of course, I will bring forth corrected sermons. You don't let that, don't fear of that either. Don't let that worry you. That if I forced you to, I'm the only one that would get credit. I want you to get credit for overcoming. In fact, Yahweh says it's a must. Well, Deuteronomy 30. And look at verse 19 first. I call heaven and earth. That's a court. That's everybody in heaven. And believe me, everybody on the earth now knows you, and the most of them hate you. Some have overcome. But in this generation, Yahweh says there's going to be about 2 billion people that's going to turn to the house of Yahweh and love you. and you'll receive joy and gladness and honor then throughout all eternity, leading, guiding, protecting, defending all the names of Yeshua he's going to give you. I call heaven and earth to witness against you. Witness, you know what a witness is in court? Everyone out there should know what a witness in court. He's calling all the heaven and all the earth to witness in the court against you. Yahweh wants everyone to pass their judgment on you and him and Yeshua. You this day is the day, the decision day. Don't forget that I have set before you life and death, grasshopper and careless weeds, blessings and cursing. The only place you can get a blessing, Yeshua said, you won't see my face ever again until you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of Yahweh. Then don't forget Psalms 118, 26. Don't forget that. Write it down in your memory. The only blessings there is comes from Yahweh's house. The certain people have taken the name Yahweh out and replaced it with Lord God. You can look in any interlinear, get the original Hebrew, as a devoted men and women have done. I know myself, Shaul, I don't know who all, but back in the days when we were just getting the presses started, building the press room, which was the first permanent sanctuary of Yahweh in the land of the enemies, right under their noses, and there's where they learned to hate us. We went to their, Yahweh sent us to the, what's the university?
ACU
University. They, according to all newspaper reports, had the most ancient books and most original books in the world. They didn't know it, but we went there and went through it, started translating the book of Yahweh. And we did it for years, making copies of everything so we could study it, show it to you, teach you. This went on for years. Some of the elders, Tana and Michael, I can't remember all of them, but many of them would get off work at the house of Yahweh, which we work long hours there too. We start at 5:30, and I think we normally quit about 8:30 to 10:30. And at that time, no, we had to go earlier than that because they run us out when they closed. So we had to go early on those days to study, but we would study till they run us out that night, all of us, translating the book of Yahweh using the world's, using the enemy's work. And this came out too later in all the newspapers. We should have the news records of those and the people who questioned what's in the front of the book of Yahweh, because we gave every book we used. And our enemies rose up against us, went raving to the lords of Abilene, and they went to trying to find out what mistake they had made. It was too late then. We already got it and ran. And I believe it was 1987 when we finally published the first book of Yahweh in the United States. At that time only, at the house of Yahweh, as Yahweh said, search out the book of Yahweh. He spoke to nobody but us, because all the books of the apostles and prophets were taken to Rome, locked up for over 1,500 years. That's a matter of history. Anyone can look it up. It was only freed by a very, by the time, this is Yahweh's army compared to the world. All the enemies carry this army of Yahweh with them, but they can't use it. You'd have to have your subconscious mind to use this, which you're already developing. I've seen it in many of you already. Let me try to explain what's taking place in your mind right now as I speak. It used to be, you know, you have a computer in your head that's not capable of much. You have another computer that's called the subconscious mind. The world's greatest computers, I put all this in the mark of the beast, can only hold 1/10,000th as much as your subconscious mind. Now that's how great that wisdom gathering computer, if you want to call it that, work. Now, y'all know about computers. You know, if you pass a button, it will bring up something for you to read. Most of the time, if you mash a button, it'll only bring up one thing. And after you study it for a while and use it, they tell me you get to wanting it to speed up because you're getting deeper and deeper in the learning and you can't learn fast enough, so you're wanting it to get faster. It won't do it. It can't. It'll only bring up one thing at a time. Maybe it's different now, but it wasn't when I wrote about it. It only started, as Yahweh said, when the wisdom will increase in Daniel. He said that in Daniel 12. In our generation, he said, wisdom will increase. That was a computer, man's computer, whose start was 1934, the great nuclear bombs in 1934. That computer started the same, 1934, and I was born in 1934. What a coincidence, huh? Today, we see all of our enemies gathered together here in this generation. All our enemies, we didn't plan this. It just occurred, and Yahweh's doing. And they all come together, some in television and us in person, but they're all here together to listen and hopefully accept this great wisdom that Yahweh has given them. These blessings can only come from the house of Yahweh, no place else. I just told you that. The book of Yahweh was locked in prison. It could not go anywhere for 1,500 years, at which time Yahweh released it to you. I think that was the year 1611, so they could start printing it, bring it down to us in print. We'd take the same work, House of Yahweh, retranslated, take out all the mistranslation. That's been our job from the beginning here, the work of Yahweh, to do this, set by Yahweh. We've done it. That's quite a thing to write of you and put before the courts of heaven, which it's there today, with all your names and all the work you've done. I've done my best to write every great thing that you've done, and it's now before the courts of heaven this day as I speak. How it comes out and how you come out is dependent. Are you going to convince the courts of heaven? I know you will. Yahweh says you will. They're going to see this, and they're going to say, hey, these people rule like our Creator, Yahweh. Let's vote for them. So the vote is going to be cast today, and it's going to be established in heaven and earth who this group is that Yahweh establishes today. First time in history, it's never occurred before, but it's occurring with you right now. What a blessing. Can you not take true joy in that? I'll show you a million other ways if you'll let me. Blessings and curses. Only the blessing comes from the house of Yahweh. Therefore, you choose. It's you that's got to choose. That's what I'm telling you. You're on trial today. You must choose also whether you want Yahweh, whether you want to rule as Yahweh, whether you will even accept Yahshua as your Savior. All of that, of course, is already done by you, and it's already in the courts of heaven. I've got to end pretty quickly. I don't know. Well, it's only 12. Let's see. This test is to prove in all the courts of earth and heaven that Yahweh's daughters and sons are capable. Now, if the courts of heaven don't believe that, they're going to vote against you, but they're going to believe it. We have it in black and white. Don't doubt, don't fear. Get all these stupid doubts out of your mind. Trust every word of Yahweh. Do what Yahweh tells you to do, and there ain't no way you could miss it. Capable of solving. You got to prove to them, sons and daughters are capable of solving all the problems and choosing their leader, Yahweh. I got to cover this word, Yahshua, before I quit. Yahweh says, honor my son Yahshua. I'm going to give him this. You're going to give him this because Yahweh tells you to. You're actually going to give Yahshua power over you. Yes, indeed, it's beautiful. You must honor the Son. If you want to turn to Yochanan 5:23, we can read that quickly. You must honor the Son as you honor the Father. Honor the Son as them people, honor the Father. The ones before us, honor the Father. You say today to all the courts that we choose to establish as our ruler, the one who gave his life for us freely, the one chosen by Yahweh, the one sent by Yahweh, we must choose to establish our leader, Yahshua Messiah. This is the one of the many things given, established to the house of Yahweh in these last days. In fact, in this generation only. And Yahweh has established his house to establish their people verse 45, I think I wrote there. I've been carrying these notes along in the shirt pocket and sweated on them. If Yahweh hadn't protected them, you wouldn't be hearing this sermon as it is today. It's hard to read. I am asking all of Yahweh's saints to start referring to Yahshua Messiah. Yahweh only established Satan. He didn't establish anybody else but Satan yet. He established her in the beginning with the job that he wants Yahshua and us to take today. She rejected it. We have got to fully establish it to prove to the courts of heaven we won't quit. If you're a quitter, you can't help anybody. If you leave the house of Yahweh, you could only come back under the offices of a prodigal son, which would be of a great glory. Even the lowest slave, Yahweh says, will have more glory than Solomon in all of his glory. So he's going to still give you a fantastic office if you can pull yourself away from the world and what you've done, repent, convert. Coming back is going to be your hard part, the hardest thing you've ever done in your life. He gives honor of establishing Yahshua to his house, sons and daughters of Yahweh. We come to you, Almighty Yahweh, Creator of all things, Most High, Most Honorable, Most Able, Greatest King of the universe, the High Priest of the House of Yahweh chooses to establish, 100%, no miscounts, no likings, no excuses. We pray in the name of Yahshua Messiah. Remember this name now. We're given to Yahshua this day. We pray in the name of Yahshua Messiah, our ruler under Yahweh, Yahshua Messiah, most honorable, the great David Yehuda brought that out today. Most honored king, leader, teacher, and judge over us and all to come to our Savior forever. Hallelujah, Yahweh. I would like to hear everyone from now on referring to him at least once. You don't have to do it many times. You take up all your time. It's a pretty long name we're giving him to do what Yahweh said, honor him as you honor Yahweh. The next thing that's hard to swallow for a lot will be to honor the one that Yahweh told Yahshua to honor, which is the one sent, and it shows it, Zechariah 6, I think, starting with verse 8, where Yahweh says, "Behold," the word there also means honor. Honor the branch, because he will build the house of Yahweh for you. I think that will be sufficient today. I've never rejoiced. I've looked forward to this for many years now. We wrote and published many books. You can find it in the first book, I think, The Mark of the Beast. And all the other books, I don't know how many, but I know Shaul. and all that crew, I remember Desi brought her sons one night late, and all these guys were working. I mean, late. We had to collate all the work we did by hand, which Shaul and his crew now can take the same work that we spent all night on and do it in 15 minutes with the equipment they have now. But I know this was really, really late. Jessie and her, that was a wonderful woman. She's dead now, but she lived and died totally in the house. Praise Yahweh. But they came real late the first time because they heard the radio broadcast. That was many years ago. They came from Arkansas, I believe. They arrived real late. They look like Okies. Most beautiful people on earth, except for you. But I saw Desi come in with her family, her whole family. Boaz, if you remember, is one of her sons. She's got grandsons there too, granddaughter. They're all married and in the house of Yahweh and workers. And I said, she told me who she was, and I said, Benaiah, take this crew of Okies back there and show them work and see if they won't gobble it up. They worked like they loved it. and have been doing Yahweh's work the same way. I don't know of any people that rejoices more than that family. Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services over to the next leader. I love you.